Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And yes, yes, we're going to get to the story a little bit later in the podcast. So don't think that we're...
What story would that be, Greg? Did anything happen yesterday that was big news and everybody was talking about? Lend itself to lots of puns and double entendres and headlines.
Scratching my head. Maybe by the end of the podcast, we'll come up with something that matches that description. But in our first martini today, I got to say, Jim, I'm warming up to Tim Pawlenty. This is a guy who I didn't know much about. His charisma or lack thereof certainly didn't lend me to think that he had a strong chance of winning the nomination. But I'll tell you what, this guy's coming out with very bold ideas. We've already documented the fact that he went to Iowa and said we need to end ethanol subsidies. He went to Florida and said we need to do radically reform entitlements like Social Security and Medicare. And he's willing to speak truth to power, which is exactly what he said he was going to do in his campaign launch video. Now he's in the president's hometown of Chicago, getting pretty specific on what he wants to see in terms of changes to the tax code. I got to say, I love what I'm seeing there, too. He wants to reduce business taxes from 35% to 15%. House Republicans right now only want to reduce it to 25%. As far as the individual tax code, those right now who don't pay income taxes would still pay no income taxes. Individuals making $50,000 or less, only 10% of that would go to the federal government. Couples earning $100,000 will only pay that rate. And everybody else, 25%. So he's obviously going to get a lot of flack from Democrats saying that our debt's only going to get huge. But we know from the Reagan years, we know from the Bush years, despite the deficits that were racked up at that time, tax cuts do increase revenue drastically. And Tim Pawlenty is understanding that we need to create some jobs here, and this is a good way to do it.
Yeah, I believe he's giving these remarks as we speak. The prepared text is up in the corner right now. There's a lot that I like there. Something that kind of – I'm a little bit curious if somebody could run the numbers on this to see just how intense the revenue drop for the federal government would be if we enacted all these tax cuts. This is a very bold plan. My fear is it's, you know, somebody's going to run the numbers on this, and impact on the deficit would be, as bad as the situation is, make it much worse. Now, we all know that, you know, if you cut taxes the right way, you can end up generating more growth. And I think the scale of these tax cuts are about as big as you can possibly get in aiming to create growth. And I think he's saying a lot of the right things. I think it'd be very difficult to enact, which is not to say you shouldn't try to do it. You just should have a certain realism about the difficulties involved. Having said that, you know, this is kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting to watch, you know, Pawlenty throw down the gauntlet. And you're going through his tour of truth speaking earlier. We forgot to mention that in Wall Street, as he puts it in today's speech, he told Wall Street the era of bailouts, carve-outs, and handouts had to end. So, look, we will see if this makes a splash. I think it shows that this is, you know, Pawlenty, rise or fall, is swinging for the fences in this race. He's not playing conservative small ball. He's not making, you know, incremental changes. Which is good. I think you really need to do that. There was no way he was going to get the nomination by doing the policy version of 3 yards in a cloud of dust.
And at the very same time, the president's economic team is getting shaken up. Austin Goolsbee's going back to the academic world. And there's a new Washington Post poll out showing that only 40% of Americans think the president's doing a good job on the economy. 59% say no. And actually, I think that's a little bit better than he was prior to the death of bin Laden. But those numbers are kind of settling back to where they were. And a new story from CBS Market Watch is not going to help the president. And that's this story that broke on Monday, that about 30% of employers have no intention of continuing to extend health care benefits to their employees once the president's health care plan is fully enacted. And the story says only 7% of workers would actually be forced to switch, but businesses just don't want to have to go through all the headaches anymore to provide this for their workers. They might end up paying them a little bit more, give them other benefits, but folks, you're going to be on your own for health care in a lot of these companies.
Yeah, and as you know, as a lot of progressives look at this, the plan is working perfectly. and you know, I think I'm being sarcastic there, but there are many folks on the left and quite a few folks on the right who have looked and said Obamacare is such a complicated Rube Goldbergian monstrosity that imposes so many horrific costs on employers and is so complicated and is so confusing to consumers and messes things up from top to bottom all across the entire healthcare system, that it is designed to fail, that it is meant to collapse within a short time of its enactment, and that in the aftermath of the, you know, policy disaster, the American people will turn to the federal government and say, save us with a single-payer system. That's the only way to fix this. It's kind of, you can say, a built-in obsolescence of Obamacare. announcements like this will do a lot to fuel that speculation that Obamacare is not meant to work. And it certainly explains why it's so complicated, why the administration was so deaf to the cries of businesses that said this was going to make things more expensive, and why they don't seem to be willing to rethink anything in the face of announcements like 30% of employers saying, no, we're not going to provide health insurance to our employees anymore.
Well, I think it's because it's the only other major piece of legislation they got done besides the stimulus, and we saw how that worked out, America. So if they continue to tinker with this, that'll make even their base and perhaps the middle, who they're trying to convince this was still a good idea and failing miserably, I might add, that'll just show weakness on their part, I think, is their mindset here. But they could probably get a lot more traction among independents who are very sour on this administration if they were to make some major suggestions or reform efforts here, but unlikely to do that given the ego of this administration. So, all right, folks, on to what you really want us to talk about. And yesterday afternoon, in New York City, we had two press conferences for the price of one. We always like a good deal, especially in New York City where things are very expensive. Let's start with the second half of the story, which actually became the non-event because we pretty much knew it was coming, given what we talked about yesterday with Andrew Breitbart and BigGovernment.com having these slew of additional photos of Anthony Weiner in increasingly, let's just say, lewd situations. So here's Weiner and his admission.
Once I realized I had posted it to Twitter, I panicked. I took it down and said that I had been hacked. I then continued with that story, to stick to that story, which was a hugely regrettable mistake. To be clear, the picture was of me, and I sent it.
Very a tearful statement from Weiner. He says that there were exchanges with six different women over a pattern of 3 years. As far as he knows, they were of the age of consent, which is always a convincing statement. But then the first question, of course, right out of the box after a statement was, will you resign? And the answer was a resounding no.
I am not resigning. I have made it clear that I accept responsibility for this, and people who draw conclusions about me are free to do so.
Now, Weiner was a bit late arriving at his press conference. That's because Andrew Breitbart, who has been savaged by the press and Democrats for allegedly being the hacker, the non-existent hacker in this case, took to the podium and defended himself and demanded an apology.
I'd like an apology from him for allowing for his political protectors, this was his strategy, was to blame me, for hacking. Oh, don't worry, Breitbart's our regular whipping boy. We can accuse him of anything, and the press will not hold those journalists to account, no matter what they say. And so I'm here for some vindication.
And shockingly, he actually got that apology, although it seemed like Weiner was undergoing enhanced interrogation techniques before he finally spit out his name.
Everyone deserves an apology here, and I certainly am. I'm certain. I'll be saying that here's what.
Where's your wife right now?
I apologize to Andrew Breitbart. I apologize to the many other members of the media that I misled. I apologize first and foremost to my wife and to my family.
I love how Breitbart just got lumped in there with the rest of the media when there was a specific campaign to completely destroy this guy's reputation and accuse him of actual criminal activity. So anybody who was offended, you know, sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can say is to the best of my – did Weiner ever say Breitbart did this to me?
I don't know.
I mean, this was coming from the Coast crowd, and anybody who puts that much faith in their ramblings probably deserves what they get. I, as of this moment, am kind of betting against his long, healthy congressional career. Apparently, the revelation out this morning from TMZ, I ordinarily would scoff at their reliability, but the National Enquirer got the John Edwards stuff right, so who knows what's true. Basically, apparently a porn star named Ginger Lee exchanged quite a few messages with Weiner, and when this story broke, Weiner sent a message saying to her, do you need to talk to a professional PR type person to give you advice? I can have someone on my team call. Yeah, my team is doing great. Ugh. It's not clear whether he's talking about his congressional staff. It's not clear if he's talking about his campaign staff. Any way you want to slice it, if it's the congressional staff, well, then he's toast. Then he's used congressional staff to help a porn star get out of a scandal, and that'll, you know, run afoul of the House Ethics Committee. If it is, you know, just his campaign staff, it'd be very interesting to see how precisely you disclose that on your FEC filing of, you know, the line item for helping, you know, public PR for porn star, $5,000, you know. We will see how this shakes out. I think at some point Pelosi and the gang are going to go to him and say, you've eaten up 2 weeks of our messaging with this utterly horrific story, and you lied through your teeth and all this stuff, and you made all of us look stupid. It's time to begin that lucrative career in lobbying you've always been yearning for. And we will say, there are a lot of people who argue Democrats are beyond shame and beyond scandal, but I think this one is just so epic. And the idea, there are too many possibilities. Anytime, as you said, anytime you're insisting that as far as you can tell, everyone was of the age of consent, that's a very, very ominous statement from a member of Congress.
Right. Yeah, that's not a good sign at all. And a couple of things that popped up here. First of all, the fact that Democrats are starting to line up means that usually your days are numbered in your position of public power. Secondly, the most hilarious suggestion I heard was, since Weiner's wife is a longtime and close friend of the Clintons, that the person who could get Anthony Weiner to step down because of his inappropriate contact with young people who may or may not be of age is Bill Clinton. I'm not sure he's going to be the most convincing argument on that one. Just a hunch.
Well, you know, a couple of my readers were observing this. They're like, look, Bill Clinton survived because he was president during a time of great economic prosperity.
Right.
Anthony Weiner just doesn't have that going for him. I think there are not enough Democrats see themselves as having a great political stake in his continued political career. I think probably it's precisely the opposite. I think a lot of these guys, even a lot of Democrats, are finding this guy to be an embarrassment. There was even a furious post over at Daily Coast saying, what the heck happened to all of our computer forensic experts who kept insisting this was a hacking job? I think the answer is, well, it was a hack job. The so-called forensic experts quoted over at Daily Coast aren't forensic experts. From the very beginning, I think most of us look at this and say, well, Occam's razor suggests this is a guy who wanted attention from young women and sought out a way to do this through electronic means, to, you know, much to his regret. In this case, when you constantly look for some alternative explanation, you're not really looking for the truth. You're looking for an excuse. You're looking for some way to explain something that is difficult to confront. And, you know, they got hoisted on their own petard in this one, which probably sounds like another – with this Weiner story, everything sounds dirty, doesn't it, Greg?
Unfortunately, it does. There's really no way around it. But I'm sure there will be more developments as the week goes on. Jim, good to be with you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.